didn't have it.
The wooden wagon we used. I was listening.
Never do.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Wow.
I mean, on holidays.
Ouch. Is that wooden wagon coming by? Here, there it is. That's the wagon we use.
Hey.
Yeah, look at the wagon. Hey. And what happens is a celebrity of some sort in the wagon holding on to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. By the way, new jar came in over the weekend. Got it from Amazon Prime on Saturday. She's back in the jar.
That's good.
She fell, or she threw herself off of Donald Trump's lap because he was going on and on Friday. Here we go. Who's in the wagon?
How dare you come in here and lecture me?
Right.
How dare you come into this office and bark at me like some little junkyard dog?
What?
I am the President of the United States.
So it is, Gavin. You know, we get good stuff from House of Cards. I'm sure there's some good speeches in there for the teeny tiny lady to come in.
Yeah, you don't hear much of Spacey anymore.
It's really weird. My daughter's gotten turned on to that show. She goes, Dad, I watch it for 4 hours, and I don't know why, but when it ends, I'm so depressed.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. That is a dark, dark show. There's not one moment of levity in that show, right? Oh, there's a lot of levity. It's very dark levity, though. I mean, it's funny because it's so outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Tim Iman accidentally took advantage of a sale going on over at Office Depot.
You take care of business. Let Office Depot Office Max take care of you. And now, save big during our biggest chair event of the season. Plus, they'll assemble your new chair for free. Visit America's number one home office chair retailer, Office Depot Office Max.
Come on in.
I heard for free.
I would say if the video came out on Friday.
Yeah.
Here's what it was. Hold on. He didn't steal anything from Cornerstone Recruiting, did he? Because that was the next commercial to come on. He went in, he saw the chair. He spun around in it. Yes, it worked. He liked it. He took it out. Then went back in, bought a couple of printers. While he was in line by the printers, he forgot that he got the chair. That's what I would go with.
You sound like a Washington Post reporter on Jesse Smollett.
What is he getting right? He stole a $70 chair?
Yeah, well, that's what... So Lacey police have referred this allegation to prosecutors for a possible misdemeanor theft charge against him. So what's tricky is there are detection units, but for some reason there was a chair, an office chair, for sale, I guess, out of the vestibule.
Oh, maybe you were confused as to whether it was for sale or not.
Exactly.
No further questions, Your Honor.
So it was already beyond the checkout spot.
Uh-huh.
He went out there. There's video. Embarrassingly, there's video of him. And you know how you know it's Tim Iman?
Because he's got a 30 big, now. Yeah,
shirt on that says, hey, everybody.
$30 car tax.
Tim Iman. Anyway, he sits in the chair, kind of spools around, and he ends up taking the chair then after they say that he kind of looked around. Now, that might be unfair if you think he's doing something suspicious. But he ends up taking his chair out to his car. Then he comes back into Office Depot and buys a couple of printers.
Yeah.
And they talk to these store employees and say, hey, whatever happened to, where's that chair that we had out there?
Yeah.
And they went through a bunch of videotape and they found that, oh, that's Tim Iman. Look at, he's taking our chair and he's putting it in. And then in retrospect, the guy who brought out the printers for him said, yeah, it was a little funny. In retrospect, I offered to, put him in his car. And he said, no, just leave him on the, on the ground here. I'll put him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think that Tim Iman stole it and knew he stole it and didn't want to get found out by a store employee, then that would explain his behavior. Otherwise, we're waiting for Tim Iman to explain his behavior. And all we have is this very kind of a odd statement of his. I am expecting a call from the officer in charge to explain what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Iman says in an emailed statement.
Yeah, he to explain what, meaning Iman will explain what happened, not the officer.
I don't know. That's what I mean. So I'm expecting a call from the officer in charge to explain what happened. So he's going to call, and then I'll be able to explain what happened. Why doesn't, if I'm trying to think. So let's say
let's just see what he's charged with. He doesn't want to say anything. You wait. Let it take its due course.
Yeah.
Here's what I say.
Okay.
First of all, why is the chair?
Yes.
Does it have a for sale sign on it?
Yeah.
Does it say anything that gives you the idea that this chair belongs to Office Depot? Other than the fact that it's in their vestibule, but it's not on the, it's not in the store.
Yeah.
It's not in the store.
That's right.
No,
hey, Fred Meyer, all those, you make, there are lots of things that are out.
Which I am shocked at. Seriously, they're right there at the door. What, do they want people to steal the stuff?
No,
ginger snaps. Take a box. What?
It's like the you would when you buy a lot of firewood. They don't have it inside the store. They have it outside the store.
Well,
you
I
say,
know.
Okay, I'm going to buy a thing of firewood. It's okay, and you pay for it.
Anyway. Right. But and I'm just saying, the chair did. Sitting there, you know that the wood is for sale. It's out there. It's got a big sign. It says $4.95. No. I'm trying to defend him.
Yeah, I know you are.
He spun around. And he was disoriented. You saw the number of times he spun in the chair. Yeah, very disoriented.
Right. In fact, he might have put it in the wrong car. He was so dizzy.
Disoriented.
It's like, something we got to be doing. Anyway, right. This is really embarrassing for Tim Iman. Now, it does... I'm sure he's concocted something. I hope it's the truth rather than something else. But it's embarrassing because we know that he's having financial troubles.
Yes.
That he's declared bankruptcy. He's going through a divorce. I mean, I feel really bad for him in that he just got caught red-handed looking like he's shoplifting something. I don't know. Maybe he didn't, and we'll have to wait for the call from the officer in charge to explain what happened. But still, it's an embarrassing look at this point. And I guess, period. I don't know what more to do. But now he's got all this, footage of him taking the chair. And
the worst part of it is the video is from one of those security camera things.
Sure.
So it's a little herky jerky, which makes it seem like he's like in a Benny Hill thing or something. He's got that kind of crazy.
Oh, Benny Hill. All seven of the listeners over 60 will know who you're talking about. This is a holiday. I suppose we can do Benny Hill jokes.
Why don't you go on and on about something written back in the 1600s?
Yeah, okay, I will. Shakespeare was a hell of a writer. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Back to Benny Hill.
Comedies, histories, and tragedies. Like this show.
All right, let me just say, to anybody 65 or older, that was Benny Hill. It was fun to watch because you just never knew.
Because he was British and very silly.
If the dirty old man was going to catch up to the buxom nurse, that was the whole thing. Anyway, listen, that joke hits for that audience. Yeah,
I know it did. I think Andy's going back into the hospital.
Oh, my. All right.
Anyway.
Okay. So listen, we're still waiting to hear.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with either I spun around and got disoriented or there was no sign. A lot of times Office Depot puts stuff out there that they don't want anymore.
I think the third one's the best one. I meant to pay for it. I saw it was already out. And so, sorry,
forgot
it
was
in the car because I knew I was coming back in because you saw me. I bought two printers and I just forgot to mention that. I completely forgot until afterwards and I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would have done if instead of waiting for an officer to call me to find out what I'm charged with, I'd say, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed.
That's
I didn't
it.
Pay for it.
Colin Kaepernick, we don't know how much he got as a settlement, but here was the deal. He was trying to prove, which would be very, very hard to prove, that there was collusion to blackball him. It's not easy to be able to prove that. And it seems like the NFL probably didn't want to go through the long process of determining whether they were working together to not hire the guy, right?
There are a lot of different interpretations. The very first interpretations I heard were over on 710 ESPN. Our local guys were saying, they probably, in effect, paid him to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And even though their speculation it's between $60 and $80 million, they figured that would be worth it because all of the embarrassing stuff that's going to come out, if this went to trial, they have hundreds and hundreds of email exchanges. And even if there wasn't an email that said, hey, Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys, make sure you don't hire this guy. We need to teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't, have something that explicit, they might have all sorts of, uncomfortable PR things to explain about these emails between these owners.
We don't know if there's evidence to prove blackballing.
No, the thing is, it depends on what you mean by evidence. If there's nothing explicit, but there's something that also shows some bad juju on the parts of the owners, they might not want that out in public, and it might be worth it to pay him 60 or 80. However, over the weekend, I saw a lot more discussions that said he must have really had something on them, and that's why they got what they got. But
if he did, then why not push all the way through? If he's such a social justice warrior, then stick with it, Colin. And push all the way through this thing and make them reveal this. And then we'll really get a clear idea of the horrible, oppressive, racist organization that the NFL is. Or maybe you don't have anything and you're going to take the money and run.
Okay, but the point is he probably is not going to run. In fact, the expectation when this the settlement was first announced that he would never play in the NFL again, mm-hmm. and this was them making recompense for that. Then we're just talking to Danny O'Neill, and Danny O'Neill says, I think he's going to get signed. This kind of clears the way for him. He's dropped his suit against the NFL, and he actually thinks he might get picked up, which would be a bit surprising. But no, I don't think the NFL, usually, the NFL, remember, they tried to get it thrown out of court, and they failed on that. I think that they really thought that something was going to come up that was going to be unfavorable to them, and so they would rather, you know, pay up. Now, 60 to 80 is just speculation at this point, but that's a lot of money. That's like three to four seasons worth of quarterbacking for the average quarterback.
So the way they had set it up was it would be his 3 years, which would be $30 million, plus an additional 15% on top is where they came up with that number. And we don't know if that's actually he's going to get that
money. Right, because they're all the first person that
it's
leaks
all speculation
that is
going to
get, in trouble. But
you want to hear from his attorney?
I think he won.
He paid a lot of money to his attorney. Let's 39 seconds. It probably cost $200.
I can't say anything at all except it's resolved, and I can tell you that it was a long and kind of unconventional journey in this, a legal journey in the sense that we brought it under the collective bargaining agreement. It was not a lawsuit, a traditional lawsuit. So when some people have kind of said, well, I wish it had gone to court, it wasn't in court. It was under the collective bargaining agreement. So they had, the union and the owners had collectively bargained to have grievances filed under what's called the CBA. And that's how we brought this. And that's where this thing was resolved. And that's the end of that.
There you go. So he might get picked up by Miami. And I would suggest as he gets off the plane or he puts on the Miami Dolphin hat, he wears his Castro shirt that he likes to wear. They love Castro in Miami.
And the speculation I heard yesterday was that maybe Bill Belichick would be the one sort of sturdy guy that could handle a controversial figure like Colin Kaepernick and or North Carolina Panthers, because they already have Eric Reed, who was also a party to the suit, and he got some kind of settlement too, and he's already playing with the Panthers.
Well, he is not a pocket passer, and does which one of those places wants somebody that's able to scramble and move outside the pocket and throw with the accuracy or inaccuracy of
definitely not New England, but Carolina. Cam Newton is a Colin Kaepernick. I was going to say knockoff, but I think he might have, you know, they might have entered the league at the same time.
President's Day shows how time can change legacies. Just look at Washington and just look at Lincoln. The piece basically explains, as the old Irish adage goes, that just all memories turn golden with time. Mm. And that at the time when Washington was in there and when Lincoln was in there and the horrible things that were written and said about these two men, and now there's monuments and we actually have days off for him.
They're absolutely hated at the time. You know, they were people furious with both of these gentlemen. Obviously, one, it cost him his life, and there was something called the Civil War. But even Washington, they say, he's now so revered, people forget how controversial he was and what a lousy general he was early on. Mm-hmm. That he was completely snookered in his first few battles because he had so little experience compared to the British. But eventually, you know, he came into his own, and he says that maybe right now we may think that nobody has been, you know, more disparaged than Obama and Trump. But they said, no, everybody in his, you know, in his own time, and it takes maybe 30, 40, 50 years to pass before passions kind of cool and you begin to see the impact. Right now, it's hard to see what the impact of somebody who is just in office has 50 years down the road. Historically, they may say, wow, they really changed America this way or that way.
Well, just look at the eulogy for Bush 1, right?
Yeah, oh my God, yes.
And a lot of people said, hey, don't do that to the guy. He was a horrible person and a horrible president.
No,
and
they didn't.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Ask Jacob. It came across his Twitter feed.
Well, you and the social media, you cannot take social media. I mean,
there's some pundit somewhere saying, look, don't do this. You know, somebody that obviously somebody writes about or whatever. The guys, I think it might have been a woman saying, don't start doing this. We can't.
Yeah.
Can't whitewash this guy and what he stood for and didn't stand for. And
well, the thing
don't
is,
do that. Bring that up. Well, who's going to bring that up at a funeral?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the thing.
But even the Washington Post and New York Times were sort of like, kinder, gentle. No, those are the two main liberal bastions of news. And they came out with, even they were like,
that's
very
right.
Sympathetic to the president, talking about, you know, kinder, gentler and 1,000 points of light and all that other stuff.
Exactly. And the jury's still out on the history. But yes, when it came to his funeral, the reverence with which we covered it was astonishing. But it was also similar to McCain's. I think maybe the reverence is in retrospect, because we have President Trump now, and so suddenly George Bush the first seems like, oh my God, he was a veritable saint
compared to him. Let's see, you want to take care of the Oscars?
Yeah, that's a good story.
Okay. So they're trying to shorten it because it's over 3 hours long, and they decided they're going to speed things up. So they're not going to let the relief pitcher warm up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's baseball.
He's on a pitch count and a pitch timer.
25 seconds to throw a pitch and then get off the stage.
And each presenter has to give out 3 awards before he can be taken off the field. That's brilliant, John. So it was almost 4 hours, the last Oscars, yeah, and ratings dropped. I don't think that ratings dropped because it was over 4 hours. I'm afraid it's just dropping because there are too many things that other people find compelling to watch or entertain. But with the Oscars decide, okay, one of the things is we lose the long, after it goes 3 hours, after it gets hits 11 o'clock New York time, the East Coast, we lose the East Coast, and it hurts our ratings, and that's not good. So they decided we're going to make it shorter, guaranteed 3 hours max. One of the decisions they made to make it shorter was, first off, we're going to get rid of 4 categories. We're still going to honor them, but we're not going to honor them during the show. We'll just show them during commercial breaks. There was such strong pushback on that.
They said, back in again.
Yeah, okay. We give. Just like they tried to say, hey, we're going to try to get more popularity by, we're going to name the most popular film.
Movie, yeah.
And then they said, no, it's ridiculous. And so they said, okay, forget that. They're just throwing things against the wall to see what they stick. Right now, they just asked the producers, is there any way to add back those 4 awards and get it under 3 hours? No. So now they're just scrambling to see. That'll be the most interesting thing about the Oscars this year is we'll be timing to see how many minutes after the three-hour mark it'll go.
Well, they hold back Best Picture, right, for the end?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the one way to...
Don't they do that?
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
But one of the things is the last time they put all the Best Pictures in a four-minute montage, now they're going to drop them throughout the show, maybe to keep people interested. Oh, hey, Black Panther, I saw that.
Well, isn't it the problem that most of the people that are watching this didn't see any of the movies that have been nominated, or is that not the case this year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're looking at popularity of films, there's more money made in these top 8 than there have been in most
others. Okay.
Yeah, just because they've included some big movies. But, you know, in this case, the question is how many people are still interested in the Oscars? Clearly, people are going for fashion and that kind of stuff. It's still kind of a big event,
right?
But it may not have, especially because the front runner, this will be interesting. The front runner is a black and white Mexican film with subtitles. It might not be the big draw.
Plus, the other thing is that social media gives us access to these people 24 hours a day. We can see everything that they're doing, where they're walking, what they're eating, their new exercise habit. So we don't, once a year, we don't watch them walk the red carpet and say something unscripted, which normally
Ooh,
most
look,
of
there's Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Lady Gaga.
I saw Lady Gaga 15 minutes ago eating an omelet. So it's like, what do I care about that? So it sort of has diffused sort of the specialness of this, these stars.
To some degree, I think that's true. But anyway.
Thank you, John, for agreeing. Let's see. China, if you want to be the next Tiger Mom and Driven Dad, you got to... play this video game?
Yeah. No, this is great.
This is a story we were supposed to do last week.
This is Turnabout is Fair Play.
Is that right?
It's really a good story.
Okay, and we never got to Cortez and the fact that she sent out the political, 3-minute political thing on Twitter. It's got more than 30 or 40 million viewers.
Yeah, most popular thing ever released politically on Twitter.
And you said she's not a star. She's a star, Tom. She's going places.
She should go to the Oscars.
Yeah. Better watch her diet. Online Trading Academy text line 989-973. Had a lot of fun, Tom, at the real estate. It was the apartments award show. They had 1,800 people over at the Hyatt on Friday night.
Wow.
Give out awards for like best appearance, best maintenance guy, best rookie maintenance guy, best leasing agent, best office manager, best maintenance crew, best technicians. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and
how many nominees in each category?
Whole lot. It was long. It's almost 3.5 hours long.
Really?
I'm trying to figure out how to speed it up.
Longer than the Oscars. Were you the Kevin Hart?
I was
host?
The MC. Yeah. Got a couple good jokes and a few just bombed big time. But you just keep on going. Keep right
on. Tell us one that bombed, would you?
Okay. Here's one that bombed. Let's see. Oh, for rookie maintenance of the year. And then you have to read. Oh, I know it's Wayne Baum. Okay, it was the assistant manager of the year.
Okay.
And it says, like, to be a good assistant manager, you must be able to show skills, interpersonal, being able to communicate effectively, being able to show concern for residents and for other employees. This is what makes an assistant manager important when they're filling in for the manager, right? Okay. So I added, this is what makes assistant manager important while they're filling in for the manager who's out applying for another job. A little kind of, you know, like,
yeah,
because like, these community managers are always like always applying
on
for another job.
For something else.
I got like a weird Oh, rookie man, maintenance of the year. Rookie manager of the year must be able to show outstanding personal skills. And I said, and must be willing to climb into the dumpster and to reset the rodent traps. Because it's like you're the rookie. Of course you send the rookie into the dumpster, right? Right?
You killed it, but not because you were funny.
It was fun. I had a great time. Okay, so in China, there is a video game that you can watch. Now, originally when they built this game, what they're hoping to do was to be able to allow kids to see what it's like to be a parent, and then they would go after the parents, or at least they would be able to sort of go, oh, I'll take out my vengeance because my mom and dad make really, really tough decisions for me, so now I get a chance to see what it's like to be a parent.
It's the most popular video game in China. It's called Chinese Parents, and it allows you, a kid, to be able to be a parent. You're given a child, and you have to make decisions for that child as he goes through life.
Mm-hmm.
Like how much education do you, force down his throat? How much playtime do you give him? And they kind of, you gauge how you are responding. And they said the early expectations were that it would be kind of like this personal revenge on their, my parents are too strict, so I'm going to allow my kid to do all these fun things that I never got to do. And he says, it actually doesn't play out that way. The reason it's so popular in China is that it allows them to experience childhood from their parents' perspective. And they say some of the players say it actually moves them to tears, mm-hmm. that they appreciate the difficulties that parents have in trying to do what's best for the child. So it ends up having this kind of sociological and educational import that they didn't see coming, and people keep coming back to it. And one of the things they have to, because, in China, it's a very kind of, I don't know what you would say, but sort of a push system where you have to be successful and all.
Right.
And I say the problem is that kills the soul of some of these people. They don't want them to grow up to be, automatons. So basically, what they want to do is they want to create a balanced kind of life. Then how you do that and how much pressure do you put on one or the other? And they say the great thing, and this is what I think keeps people hooked. It's multi-generational. So you start off and you raise your child.
Mm-hmm.
And when that child is raised to adulthood, however they are, however successful or unhappy they are in the video game, then that kid then has a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've raised a kid who's very smart but unhappy, you get that kid will start with a debit of unhappiness, but a positive of being smart. And then you try to balance that, and you can actually do this through generational impacts. I think it's a brilliant, fantastic idea.
Don't you think it's kind of kooky that it ended up sort of not backfiring, but at least opening up a different avenue of discussion as opposed to what they thought would happen?
Yeah, well, I don't know how much expectation was put into it, but they just thought, well, this is a chance to, the earliest games, you raised a pet. You had this little, like a Japanese dog, and you had to kind of, feed it and give it a walk and all this kind of stuff. It's just a more sophisticated version of that. I think it's brilliant.
I do an event for Asian Community Center, and it's fun because they have Chinese, they've got Islanders, they've got Korea, everything. It's terrific. It's up. It's a community center that was built about 10, 15 years ago, and it just grows every year. It's a way of making sure that if you come in and English is not your first language, they have all sorts of support, and they've got taken care of from kids to adults. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So at the award ceremony every year at this fundraiser, it's always fun to hear different young people, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, to get up and explain. I mean, and talk about bringing jokes down.
Yeah.
They crack jokes about like, hi, my name is, and I do this for a living. I know. Disappointment. My parents wanted me to be a dentist. And the whole place just busts up. And when you talk to them later on, and as they're up there explaining, the pressure placed on these kids.
Yeah.
But still, so many of them that are there that have been able to sort of understand that pressure was considered to be love.
Yeah.
That the kids understood that their parents came from a country that was very oppressive, and they want their kids to succeed, and they see education and no boyfriends. The one girl said, my dad would chase the boy down the street with a club and tell him to come back in 10 years when he's a doctor. So the idea that parents love them, put the pressure on them because that's a form of love, because they want them to succeed.
there was a, one of my favorite games when I was a kid was called Careers. And in that, you, it was basically you go through your life and you had to get fame points for fame, happiness, and money. And at the beginning of the game, you decide how many happiness points do I want, how many fame points do I want, and how much happiness, you know, money points do I want. And you just go through the game and you choose your career based on, okay, this career will make you happy, but it won't make you money. And it's certainly not going to make you famous, or you want to be more famous or not. And it's just, it's a way for kids, I think, to kind of think about their lives and what they value in their lives. And this gives them the opportunity to realize, I can, my fate may have been, you know, set by my parents, but now I have the opportunity to set how would I like to be played. And a lot of them end up saying they mimic their parents. Mm-hmm. They end up inculcating whatever values their parents had into this video game.
I always tell my son that you can take over my legacy.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's what does always he meant say? With an uncomfortable silence and then like sort of this cow-eyed stare, like, what? What am I going to do? What do you have? I know that a cool article that was in NPR had it, and New York Times, I think, had a piece on it as well. The idea that if you live down the street from your grandparents, that it has evolutionary support for you to be able to have the older generation. And I think the Asian community understands the importance of having someone that has the years and experience and what that can do for the kids.
In this particular study, though, this was very specific about one aspect. And so grandparents are not who's being studied. It's grandmothers and grandfathers maybe are irrelevant. They did these studies of societies where if you have grandmothers, that allows children to be more, the grandmother's the mother then, to have more children because the grandmother takes care of the children. And so that's how it's evolutionary biology dictates that grandmothers are important because they'll take care of the children when the mother normally wouldn't have time to take care of the children to have more children. And if the whole point of evolutionary biology is to create more offspring, then grandmothers are essential.
It used to be that when you had kids, of the six that you'd had, four would die. That was on average.
Oh, I know. Unbelievable. I would just think the tragedy, the heartache of having to see some of your kids die would be enough to not want to have more kids.
But instead, if you understood that it was just part of the game, I mean, that was, it was not unheard of, right? And you would almost expect they wouldn't live past the age of one. It was a wild, something would happen to them, a flu or something else would get them, or they didn't get enough nourishment prior to. But out of six, you'd lose four.
Incredible. Well. And going back, one last thing I just want to mention on that game. They say that kids start off when they play the game, they think that life is a 100-meter run. They eventually realize it's a marathon. And then by the end, because you go to the next generation, they realize, oh, no, no, it's not even a marathon. It's a relay race. You pass on to the next generation, and the generation passes on the next.
I have a quick brag about story. So I had dinner with Chucky last night. Went to Purple. Paid way too much, by the way. Purple, $23 for lobster ravioli. Shame on you. And she's telling me.
Lobster ravioli, though.
No, but come on, $23. So we're sitting talking. She got a job at a hair salon in Redmond.
Yeah, you mentioned.
And she was explaining to me that these other girls that are the same age as she and how terrible they are as far as work ethic. But my kid has this work ethic. She goes, Dad, I do it because it's the right thing to do. And you know, like, you know, you know what I mean?
I know,
as a parent, all of a sudden
you're like,
yes!
Oh, wow,
yeah.
All my failures are receding into the background.
Because like, you're paying me. I got to do that. I'm like, that's exactly it. That's good, Chuck. You're going to go far in the world. Anyway, and then I ate the ravioli. Care Partner Senior Living, thanks very much for sponsoring our letters. Mom and Dad at the place in their life that they need a transition. Where they're going to get a little extra help and care. The house has gotten too big for them, and they just can't keep up. Care Partner Senior Living. Check out the many, many places that would be glad to be able to make sure your mom and dad are comfortable. Hey, here comes the mailman.
Oh, wow.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. Hey, teeny tiny lady.
Hello!
She's very excited to be here and tell us about that letter of the day. But first, let's get started.
So we'll start off with 253. Hey, I'm listening to the show today, and I don't appreciate you're not giving your best effort. Usually you're at a 10, but today you're an 8.
Hold on, I can't get the bell again. Kelly in Redmond says, just because people have the day off doesn't mean no one is listening. Think of all the people who normally don't listen because they're working but are listening now, like me. I love days like this because I get to hear the entire show while I clean the house. Love the show.
Hey, that's great to hear. Kelly. And Andy on the road less traveled. Hi-ho, fellas, and breaking news.
Uh-oh.
The rumors of my death are premature and wholly exaggerated. I've been out of the loop for almost 2 weeks with a pretty nasty bout of pneumonia, requiring a lengthy hospital stay and aggressive treatments. And sure, I could have whined about it from my bed looking for a pity visit like Wes and Puyallup did. But when you already feel like crap, is a visit from an exhaust-reeking, hair-plugged, smelling of HGH John Curley any tonic at all? I think not. I'm out of the woods now, though, fellas, and soon hope to be back dallying with John and delighting your several, if not perhaps dozens, of listeners. Oh, just wanted to let you know I could sense John's concern. Have a great rest of the week, and remember Ike's sage words. Things are more like they are now than they've ever been before.
Thank you, Andy. 51971 says, I'm worried about where they're going to put the extra stars on the flag.
There you go. And 206, tell Tom that Eastern Washington should be called Fredonia. It's an old Marx Brothers reference he'll get. Yeah, from Duck Soup. Everyone should go out and see Duck Soup on honor of President's Day.
Oh, okay. And I mentioned Benny Hill, and you say no one's listening right. to that. 253. So
yours is dated. Mine is classic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Duck Soup is older than Benny Hill.
I know. It's ancient.
Hold on.
Wrong!
So if we split the state, the liberals get the best half, and the conservatives get only the half with hot summers and bad winters every year. No way.
Yeah, but you get all the guns you want. Right. You shoot each other. On childhood crushes, Joseph in Bellevue weighs in, call me counterintuitive. You're welcome, Tom. But I think it's the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds who have a better grasp of what love is than adults. Preschoolers don't expect their love to transform someone, as grown-ups do. It's only as we get older that we start confusing love with affection, passion, and overactive hormones. Mm-hmm. To sum it up, I would say, if you're holding hands while watching a bug crawl on the ground or a flower opening up, you're probably in love.
Mm.
If you're stressing over giving flowers or taking Cialis, you're probably not.
Wow, 425. She's well thought of, Joseph. 425, no teasing from parents. My parents are British. It's been a lifelong episode of Monty Python and nothing is safe.
That's right. No.
Toughens up the kids.
Snow Day Makeups, Lyndon Bothell. Making up lost school days by adding 20 minutes per day is incredibly frustrating for teachers. I will give a simplified example to explain. Let's say I'm a chemistry teacher and I was planning on giving a test one day and having the kids do an experiment the next. I get 1/6 of the 20 minutes added to the school day. How do I make up the tests in the lab in 7-minute increments? Adding a few minutes to a lot of days is not the same as adding back the missing days.
Mm. Tim Iman, Nick from Orca says, maybe somewhere in the fine print, free Home Depot chairs are part of the Tim Iman $30 car tab initiative.
And expensive water bottles, 425. Instagram must think I'm rich. They're advertising water bottles at around $80 to $90. Who pays that much?
I ain't paying $80 for a water bottle.
So there.
That's right. Benny Hill, 206 says, I'm 48. I know Benny Hill only because my uncle made me watch it.
Right. And 206, I'm 32 and definitely know Benny Hill. He's awesome. One of the greats.
702 says, I'm 28. Love Benny Hill. LOL. Always watch it with my dad as a kid.
Right. I know. That's how you're introduced. And 253, half the time you two go back and forth, I close my eyes and imagine Yakety Sax playing in the background. And my parents are barely 60.
253, that's pretty, talk about Oscars, pretty simple solution for the Oscars problem. All we have to do is have a split screen, have the commercials and the Oscars going on at the same time, just like they do with football sometimes.
Yeah, there you go. Eric responds to Andy. Eric and Bothell.
Oh, from once made famous by the show. I was getting ready to pull something up. Sorry. Warn me.
Sorry
this show's so tightly scripted. How does that happen?
I want to wish Andy on the road less traveled a speedy recovery.
Yes.
His misfortune is a reminder to the rest of us, including Tom and John, that as you have become elderly, it is important to avoid the illnesses that can be avoided with vaccinations, pneumonia being one of them.
Oh,
as Tom can attest, recovery takes longer as you get older. Oh.
Long letter.
The whole thing about him screwed up.
Letter of the day, 253.
Yes.
Boys, today's show, so far it's been dredging up some sad memories of unrequited grade school love.
Mm.
Linda Wetzel, Julie Danner, Rhonda Hollenberger. Oh, what might have been. But the saddest, the most tragic memory related to the big show, that dark day I dropped the thermos from my sweet Partridge Family lunchbox, and in doing so, then heard that terrible sound as I gave it a gentle shake in the false hope that I averted disaster. Oh, I know. Remember, no. You shake here and you hear all the tinkle, 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 tinkle.
Out of time. Bye, bye.